I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. You know, for a good, 20, 25 years, most of you guys know I had assignments. I was a reporter, my last contract with Fox News. And I got to cover a lot of very interesting stories, needless to say, over the course of 20, 25 years. In a lot of different places. One story sticks out in my mind, and that was in Colorado Springs, where a 12-year-old boy was actually, how do I put this? I'm just going to tell you, he had a terminal illness. And I was going down to cover his story through the Make-A-Wish Foundation because his last wish was to be able to meet the President of the United States because he said he had a message for the President. At the time, the President was George W. Bush. So anyway, this 12-year-old boy did get his wish. They flew him to Washington, D.C. to meet the President of the United States. I asked him what it was like. He said the guy was very busy. He goes, he really did take time out of his daily schedule for him when he didn't have to do it because the only time allotted to him on his schedule was to walk with the boy and his parents while he was getting ready to board Air Force One to go off and do whatever presidential thing he had to do. He said, son, why don't you come and walk with me? This is all the time I have, but I wanted to just expend this amount of time with you if nothing else. So the little boy walks with George W. Bush as he gets ready to board Air Force One. And the President looks at him and he goes, I understand you have a message for me. And the boy says, I do. He takes off a bracelet, one of those rubber band bracelets. And on the bracelet it said FROG, F-R-O-G, FROG. And he gives it to the President. The President looks at it and goes, FROG? What's this? And the boy goes, fully reliant on God, sir. Fully reliant on God, FROG. Says the President took it, and he actually started to tear up. He actually teared up. He shook the boy's hand. He goes, fully reliant on God, huh? Thank you, son. Goes over. Gets aboard Air Force One, climbs to the steps, and they say he did something that he's never done before. He actually turned around, looked at this boy, and gave him the thumbs up. To this day, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if that little boy has crossed over. More than likely, he has. I'm not worried about him. He had his head on straight, and he was not afraid to die. He told me he wasn't afraid to die. A little 12-year-old boy telling me that everybody's got to die. If it's his time to go, he's fully reliant on God. He knows where he's going to be, and he'll be at peace, and he won't be sick anymore. Not too many kids blow me away. I work with kids all the time. I tell you what, this kid, he gave me chills. He absolutely gave me chills. You know, I'm bringing up that story today because there's been something on my heart I've been thinking a lot about, and that's about people, many of them in my own circle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll take that back, many of them in my own family who don't necessarily claim to be people who follow the teachings of Christ, a.k.a. Christian, but they believe in something, but they don't know what it is. It's called agnosticism. Maybe there's something out there, maybe it isn't, I don't know. And they're spending their whole life in this little fence area. I call it sitting on the fence area. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Well, it's never my intention to really preach, but evidently I do it, and I do a pretty good job of it. So listen, I'm going to talk to you for a minute about spiritual things, as I often do. And if you don't like it, go ahead and turn me off now, because I will be talking about the teachings of Jesus Christ for a couple of minutes, especially if you're agnostic. You see, in one of the books of their Bible, the very last one, Revelation 3, it basically says, be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm. When it comes to your belief in your spiritual understanding and what you choose to believe and worship, pick one. Be hot or be cold, but don't be in the middle. Because the Bible says if you are lukewarm, God will spit you out. Now, interesting analogy, spit. Because when someone says they spit you out, it's got a little bit of an attitude to it. He could have said, I'll leave you, I'll ignore you, I'll be far from you, whatever. But he didn't. He said, spit you out. And it got a little bit of an attitude, like, disgust. I got to spit it out. It's disgusting. It literally disgusts guys for you. It disgusts God in heaven for you to be lukewarm or agnostic or wishy-washy. Not making up your mind. He said, I'd rather know that you've worshiped in the other side. What's the other side? Well, it's the devil. He says, I'd rather you worship that side than to sit on the fence, to be lukewarm. That's for all my agnostic friends out there. Love ya. Listen, I got to speak the truth as I know it, or I'm not doing my job. If I'm a communicator, a minister, a chaplain, whatever you want to call me, if I'm not doing my job, I would be in disobedience. So I got to tell you what I know to be the truth. You have to choose who you're going to serve. You know, I got people that are good-hearted people, but, you know, and they believe in Jesus, but they also believe in everything else. You know, I just go down the list. They believe in the universe. They believe in, you know, all the New Age stuff. They believe in psychics. They believe in, I always say, the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, everything. We believe in everything because it's all good. Well, then, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I just read you the verse. It says it's not good, that it makes God sick to the point he wants to spit you out. Ladies and gentlemen, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I have people in my circle who are atheists. You know what? They made up their mind. That's okay. I know where you stand now. You've made your choice. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm not going to hate you. Quite the opposite. But I know where you stand, and that's what I need to know. So many times I'll see on Facebook people who go, please pray for my parent or a family member or whoever. But the people who are asking for the prayer are the same people I see in other posts who are knocking the Bible, knocking God. So, I mean, you pick one. Do you want me to pray or not? I don't know what I often say, well, what do you believe if you want me to pray? Because I pray in Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe that, I can't waste my energy on that. If we don't have the same God source. The same God source, ladies and gentlemen, is the power source. It's the power source. Those of you in martial arts listening to me today, let me put this in a great comparison for you. As an instructor, they may never tell you this, but one of the most annoying things is to run into a former student who says, I really need to come back. I really want to come back. I really need to come back. I make the conversation short at that time. I'm not mad that they quit, but you need to be up front with me. Because the goal when you train as a white belt to move in is to actually make it to black belt. At least one black belt, okay? I've got seven. Make it to at least one black belt. I mean, we know many perpetual brown belts. or red belts in the case of my art form. I remember being a white belt and at a test, a GUP test, which is under black belt. There was a gentleman, he was a red belt, said he started training in like the 1970s, and he had like two or three stripes on his red belt, which means he's a black belt candidate, but he's not continuing, he keeps stopping his training and getting back to it. You know, and then when I was a green belt, I ran into the same guy. And then I was a red belt, and I was actually testing with the guy. Then I was a black belt. He wasn't there. I mean, I'm sure at this point, he's the perpetual red belt. He never goes all the way. He never makes it. I mean, hey, if you want to pay martial arts tuition for the rest of your life, that's certainly grand for my bank account. But who am I really doing a favor by not coming to you saying, listen, you're in a loop, a time continuum for you Trekkies, where you need to stop being a red belt. You need to make up your mind if you want to be the perpetual red belt or you want to be a black belt, but pick one. Don't waste my time at a restaurant when I run into you and tell me you want to come back. Come back. Make it happen. Finish the race. Do the job. It's up to you by your own free will what you choose to do. I know a lot of people who tell me they had a brown belt in martial arts. I know they're probably trying to impress me by saying they had a brown or a red belt. But ask any instructor, the first thing I see is when I look at them in my mind, I'm going, quitter. Oh, nice to meet you, quitter. I'd never say that to their face, but that's what we think. There's no excuse to go that far in your training and not finish it up. It's the same thing when we talk about spiritual issues. You need to be full on, fully reliant on God. You need to be frog, just like that little boy. Who knows, maybe George W. needed to hear it that day. Maybe he was going to a meeting he did not want to go to. Maybe he prayed, said a little prayer, and said, God, give me a sign that you're going to be with me today. And it was in the form of a little boy who was terminally ill, who said, I got a message for the president. I have to get this to him. Kind of gives me chills to think about it. What could have been in the spirit realm, what George W. Bush could have asked for, and what this little terminally ill 12-year-old felt in the spirit realm, I need you to go see George Bush, and I need you to give him a message. He heard it, and he still make a wish that was what he wanted. You see how heaven networks. That little boy did his job for the kingdom of heaven on that day, and obviously it touched the president because he had tears in his eyes. But see, heaven is networking on our behalf, guys. The kingdom of heaven consists of God and Jesus, the angels, and all the saints who have already crossed on before us who have taken Jesus Christ, that insurance plan, have accepted him as the Son of God. They're all over there, and they're rooting on our behalf. They're networking on our behalf. They're making things happen. I know over many, many times over that I have gone in certain ways in certain places where I thought I'm having a really bad day, that the truck just stopped in the middle of the major road. And I had to walk back, and sure enough, I walked right by somebody getting ready to kill themselves and on their knees in front of a church, church door closed, they need guidance, praying for God to send someone to help them. Going up and counseling with them, and they're hugging me like they haven't seen me in 100 years, like they knew me, because they knew God sent me to help them, to counsel them in spiritual things, because they were getting ready to give up. I've seen encounters like this many times where I know that heaven is networking on our behalf. Just think, somebody up there went, well, wait a minute, there's Karen, okay? She's a spiritual counselor, a clinical pastor, whatever you want to call it. She can help this lady. So we know on this such and such date, she's going to be in this town. We're going to have to cause a little miracle in a very safe way to take place. So she's going to have to walk right by this woman on her knees in front of this church. We're going to have to work this out. If you accept that insurance plan and you really do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, do not doubt. You're part of that heavenly networking to get things done, to be in the battle of good versus evil so that good can win over evil so we can do our job. You see, that's what it's all about in a nutshell, is being part of the plan in the battle of good over evil. So many of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you, but you just totally get absorbed in your own muck. Your own doo-doo bag. I don't know what to call it. It's just like you sit in it. You get stuck in your own stuff. I want to remind you, A, you know that time is short. Can you believe you're as old as you are already? And B, I want to remind you when you made a commitment to follow Christ, that you're in a new game plan and it doesn't include you. You see, if you seek first the kingdom of God, you do the right thing. Everything you need and want until your cup runneth over, Psalms 23, will be added unto you. You have to understand that you're here to participate in a spiritual battle. I promise you it's taking place. I promise you 1,000 times over, there is a battle of good and evil taking place. And if you've called on Christ as your Savior, you're part of that plan. So stop focusing on you. Stop focusing on, are you making enough money? Stop focusing, are you too fat? Are you having health issues? Stop focusing, are you getting along in your relationships? Give it to God and focus on what you're here to really do. What you're supposed to be here doing, why you're here at this day and time at this very moment, when you could have been born back in the 1500s, the 1800s, the 600s, you could have done so many other things could have happened, but God made you here at this day and this time for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. That is spiritual thinking. And if you tell me you're a spiritual person, then that should be on your mind every day when you wake up. That's what's on your mind. What can I do in the battle of good and evil to make a difference today? Knowing that God will take care of me. God will heal me, give me strength, give me the money I need. God will heal my relationships. What can I do today to participate in this battle? So I guess you didn't know I could preach, huh? Some of you tuning me in for the first time. I never wanted to be a preacher. I just think it's passion. I always wanted to be a TV star, ladies and gentlemen. But I know what I know, and I've chosen whom I serve, and I know I'm gifted in writing, speaking, teaching, and special ops ministry, and that's what I got to strive to do. Doors will open for you, and there will be a flow when you do what you're supposed to be doing. Doors will open for you and there will be a flow. A lot of times people are like, Karen, why don't you do that? Jeez, with all your credentials and everything you've done, do this. I say, well, I'll think about it, but I probably won't do it because it's not in the path of the flow that I feel to make a difference in this world because I don't want it to be about me. I used to want it to be about me, okay, for most of my life. I'd say to about age 30, and when God got a hold of me, and all of a sudden I realized I should have already died at the age of 3 as a baby, and I'm not dead, so God's got a plan for me, and I need to kick it into gear. But in doing so, I'm always amazed at how God honors me, puts me high on a pedestal, just like he promises in Psalms 91 and Psalms 23. The honor comes not because I really am that special. The honor comes because I've got my ducks in a row with what I'm supposed to be doing at this place and this time in the spirit realm. So, you know, when you see me post stuff on Facebook, you know, holding a trophy or a plaque or getting an honor, dude, you need to be happy for me, okay? I think there's people that actually get jealous. You need to be happy for me because my waking thought is how can I serve God today? How can I participate in the battle of good and evil? You're seeing the fallout and the fruit of me thinking like that. That's all it is. That's all it is. Someone said, man, every time I turn around, you get another award. I know. I'm doing it because I got my spiritual ducks in a row and I know what I'm supposed to be focused on. You seek first the kingdom of God. I don't ask for any of it. Contrary to popular belief, I didn't pay one dime for any of it. I haven't paid one penny for anything that I've gotten. Okay, well, let's not get into that. But anyway, listen. Just a quick friendly reminder here from Master Karen, Chaplain Karen, whatever you want to call me, that every day you wake up, you say, God, what can I do to help in the battle of good and evil? Because I do believe in you. If you're agnostic and you're still listening, well, you've got a lot of guts. Thank you for that. I hope you understand that you've got to make a clear, concise choice. The fence-setting thing disgusts God. It just disgusts him. Let's roll, guys. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. All right? All right. Well, you guys know I have 4 books out, right? I write for Karate Magazines every month, and I have a blog. This is the blog posted on the Eden Assignment. Every time I put one out, I post it there. It's the group page, the Eden Assignment. So you can look that up and get on that. About 4,000 or 5,000 people on there as it is right now. And I'm humbled. I'm humbled because I can speak my truth and people are touched by it. Thank you. Got a couple of things coming up this fall, October the 1st through 3rd. The Sport Karate Museum will present the Power of Women. It is going to be in Houston, Texas, where all my female martial artist friends from way back when will be there. And I'll be speaking at that event. And I love meeting my sisters because they paved the way for the younger ones to be able to train in martial arts. Believe it or not, there was a time where men did not want women in the martial arts class. It's just like the, you know, the girls, they can't cut it. And some of these women were the path makers. I mean, they forged the path so that when I got in the late 80s and early 90s, the path was forged. Still wasn't a lot of women even then, but it became a little more acceptable and a little more easier. And it's getting easier now. It's getting easier. So I want to honor and tribute these women who were the trailblazers in martial arts, like Jenny Pless and Darlene McPherson and some of the others. So look forward to seeing you, my sisters. And you all come on out, especially the women in martial arts. Come on out. We're going to have a good time. October the 15th, Lexington, Kentucky, is the Black Dragons Fighting Society seminar open to the public. You can contact Donald Miskell regarding that. It's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky, on October the 15th through 17th. I'll be speaking at that. And also, if you want to go to the Power of Women in Houston, contact Gary Lee. Gary Lee's in charge of that. Let him know. All right, guys. Well, listen, time is just ticking away here. And, you know, don't get caught up in the lie that you'll do the things to help the community and help other people when you get your own self situated, because it'll never happen. Listen to your heart with the Holy Spirit telling you what you need to go out and do to make a difference. Don't wait. Don't wait. Oh, when I get feeling better, I'll blah, blah, blah. Oh, when the money comes in and I'm a little more settled and the kids are gone, blah, blah, blah. You got to do it right now. Do it now, because there will never be a perfect time to do the work we need to do. You got to do it now, because it's an imperfect world. It'll always be something. Something's always going to creep up to cause you to stop doing what you were called to do in this life. You got to make the decision to do it now, okay? All righty, then. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.